Good morning. This morning we're going to talk about being surrounded by lions. And you're probably wondering, what in the world is the pastor going to talk about today? Has he totally lost touch with reality? Why has he selected a scripture reading that ends with bones being crushed? This is weird. But if you would just follow with me in faith, and together as we look into the Word of God, then you will know that there is a lion out there. And a lion is unlike the lion that's caged up in the Bronx Zoo. The lion that I'm referring to was described in 1 Peter 5:8. It says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." I'd like to ask if you could turn with me to the Old Testament, Psalms 57. In this particular psalm, it's from David, and David talks about a very tough season in life. In this tough season is when he is being attacked by a spiritual enemy in Satan. And he is not just looking for someone to devour, but in this particular passage, the lion is in a process of devouring a person's inner spirit. And we go through spiritually oppressive times because God has a purpose for them. And this is what this particular passage is talking about. I'm going to read just the first part of it, Psalms 57, verse 1 to 6. "Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me, for in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends his love and his faithfulness. I am in the midst of lions. I lie among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves." The verse that I want us to hold on to is found in verse 4, where David says, "I am in the midst of lions." Will you join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask for faith as we approach your scriptures. Father, Lord, I don't know exactly what you're doing in every individual's life here in this particular church, in this chapel here. But Father, Lord, perhaps some are going through tough stretches. Some perhaps have just passed them. Some maybe are approaching one. I don't know. But Lord Jesus, your word tells us that there is an enemy that's prowling around. And Father, Lord, there are silent battles that no one knows about. There are things that happen within the mind, things that are attacking our inner spirit that wants to live for you. Lord Jesus, I know that there is an active enemy seeking to oppress us. So Lord Jesus, this morning I ask that you would give us not only a word of encouragement, but Lord Jesus, give us the power that comes from your word. That Lord, we will be like the sheep that can recognize your voice as from the good shepherd and to be able to discern what voice is not from your mouth. So Lord Jesus, I ask that you would give your people, your church, Lord, the faith, Lord, to see what you want us to see in the scriptures. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, David, in this particular psalm, is going through what we would call a time of testing and trials. And before this, you know, the life of David has been on a positive swing for quite some time. You see, David, ever since he took down Goliath, which we all know about, his career just kind of took off. Things were going great for him. It seemed like everywhere he went, everything he touched was just gold. He went to this battlefield, and victory was for him in this battlefield. We find in scriptures that people made songs about David, and they sang them. Everybody just sang them like a national anthem. And David was able to make close friends with people that's on so-called the top of the food chain. You know, one of his best friends was Jonathan, the son of none other than King Saul himself. So you can say that he had a direct line to political power. And on top of this, well-respected and highly influential pastor named Samuel, who is probably the Rick Warren of his day, came and visited him and had already anointed him to be the next king. But then all of a sudden, like a bad storm, he finds himself under attack. In your Bibles, if you look at what is written just below the title of Psalms 57, it tells us that this particular song was written while he was running from his life, hiding in a cave. And so as he sits in this dark, smelly cave, as he cries out to God, and verse 1 says, you know, in you, my soul takes refuge. You know, this cave is the only place where he feels safe from being pursued by an angry king in Saul. And so no matter what happens outside, he knows that in this cave, he can retreat in this place where he can find rest for his weary soul. And sometimes when we feel like our world is collapsing around us, we also find a cave that we can call our prayer closet. A prayer closet where we can retreat from all that is happening around us, all that shakes us up, all that hurts us, that confuses us, and we hide under the shadows of God's wings in our prayer closets. And it is in this place of refuge that we can cry out to God. And David seems to realize something about when lions attack. He knows that despite the intensity of it, he knows that it will soon pass. And seeing the lion can come at you from many angles, and you might have a tremendous battle going on inside your head where you are filled with thoughts that you know are not from God's. One day, perhaps you will feel strong, walking upright. And perhaps the next, you are struggling with so much temptation, where you're loaded down with so much guilt. And you feel so weak under the intense attack of the enemy. An enemy who is like a lion, who's looking to bring you down and keep you down. And you might feel like it will never end, but it does. And so David seems to know that it was just a season, and it will eventually pass. And every spiritual attack that comes your way will last only as long as God allows it to last. Towards the end of verse 1, David realizes, he says, I will take refuge until the disaster has passed. It's like waiting around for a bad storm to pass while you stand firm in what you believe in. If you have ever felt like your spirit was under attack from the enemy, then perhaps you would know verses like Psalms 30, verse 5. Maybe you know it personally very well, where it says, you know, weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. It is just a season where it feels like you are surrounded by lions, but it will pass as soon as God's purpose for that is served. For David, he felt like lions were everywhere, and that's why he's in the cave. He has tasted what it's like to be attacked by Satan through the vessel of other human beings. Look at verse 4, the very end of verse 4. He says, men, okay, human beings, people, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. I mean, do you see what's happening here? Satan was using Saul to set a trap for him. And often our image of Satan attacking us is from some type of fantasy science fiction movie where a dragon or maybe some serpent out there or maybe something really demonic looking, you know, that's when Satan attacks. You know, the ravenous beast and lions that David refers to in Psalms 57 are not literal, they're figurative. What he is really talking about here is the men and women whose words have pierced his soul. He is talking about when people say things that have so deeply wounded his spirit. And when they open their mouth, their teeth are like pointy spears, and they shoot out arrows which can inflict damage from even a long distance. When their tongues move in speech, it is like a waving sharp sword which cuts indiscriminately. You know that saying we all grew up with, I'm sure you're familiar with, where it says, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, you know, but words can never hurt me. I mean, it is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in the world. It's simply not true. I mean, it's right up there with Santa Claus. It is just not true. You know, not too long ago, I had a conversation with another pastor friend of mine. And he grew up, this pastor, he grew up with not necessarily a father who's a godly man or a father who's a third-generation missionary overseas somewhere, no. He grew up under the verbal abuse from his father. And he says that every day he would hear his father say something like, "What are you doing, meathead? You know, there you go again, you meathead. Hey, yo, meathead, come over here and bring me a beer." So he grew up with that. And so as a kid, it was just a constant reinforcement of, you know, hey, you know, I must be a meathead because my father calls me that all the time. And then perhaps as you grow up, you might say to yourself, you know, I am not a meathead. I am not a meathead. I am not a meathead. But then every time you make a mistake, you begin to wonder. And it took the grace of God and many, many years to pray for his father. And eventually he led his father to the Lord. You know, for us Asians, you know, perhaps that term meathead is not all that familiar to you. But we have our own words, don't we? I've heard of immigrant parents calling their kids, you know, fantong or empty rice bucket. Or perhaps moyong, all right? Maybe you have heard of that before. From a friend, of course. Where it means useless. Or how about this one? This one takes creativity, you know. 전도가링엿. That means you are number one in your family in stupidity. You know, those words, as young people are growing up, those words can wound the inner spirit of a young person. And when Paul says, you know, I was delivered from the lion's mouth, I wonder if the Apostle Paul is referring to the words that have come from Satan's vessel. In general, we do not think that lion can attack us, that Satan can attack us through people, especially not someone who knows the Lord, who believes in God. But I'm afraid that at many times, Satan sets traps for us through the usage of people who are disobedient to the Lord. You see, whenever there is an active sin in a person's life, Satan has grounds to work within their area. And this is true for anyone, regardless if they're a Christian or not a Christian. If you are not careful in following God's way, Satan can use our own disobedience for his ungodly purposes. Let me give you a couple examples. You know, in the Gospels, we find, you know, all the time demonized people who are shouting and doing all they can to confuse and to distract the ministry of Jesus. The sin that was present in the Pharisees' lives allowed them, again, the Pharisees, the leaders of the church, to be used by Satan to verbally attack Jesus. And we find this to be true even among the church plant, where we find, you know, 12 disciples, this church plant that Christ was trying to lead. You have within this 12 group, this 12 people here, you know, Peter, who was used by Satan to insert thoughts that's not from God, but thoughts from someone else. Thoughts of self-preservation to a Christ who was trying to mentally prepare himself to go to the cross and to go to Jerusalem one last time. The Gospel of Luke records, it says that Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, in other words, other Christians, and he rebuked Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." You see, Jesus knew that behind Peter's thoughts and behind his words was a vicious lion looking to plant a trap in his mind. And Peter, in return, remember how his own disobedience was used by Satan, because he later on in Acts chapter 5, Peter says, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart?" You see, there is the enemy there, and he's using disobedient people. Peter knows how this can happen to even Christians. You know, Ananias and Sapphira, we read in Acts 5, you know, there were people that were in church. These were regular church people who wanted to present themselves to be more spiritual than what they really are. And so Satan used a disobedient couple to set a trap for a young church that was making an impact, starting to make an impact for the kingdom, as we read in the early chapters of Acts. And Satan likes to attack just before God does something tremendous. Take, for instance, just before the Last Supper, where the Bible says, as Jesus was about to show them the full extent of his love, the Bible says, Satan entered Judas. Before the ministry of Jesus even started, Satan the lion was looking to set traps for Jesus during the 40 days of wilderness. And we find here in Psalms 57, David here, he is about to become, not yet, but he's about to become the greatest king Israel has ever known. And it was during this time that Satan wants to bring people down before God can lift them up. So for you and I, before God lifts you up, then don't be surprised if you find yourself surrounded by lions looking to wound your spirit. That before the grace of God can be poured into your cup, that Satan wants to crack this cup so that it will always leak out. Regardless of what God puts in it, it's always going to leak out. And David was being chased, wrongfully persecuted by an insecure and a self-promoting king in Saul. And so Satan used the disobedience of one man to make life miserable for another. What David was going through may seem similar to what you have perhaps gone through and experienced in life. Perhaps you have also heard words from a mouth of a lion through another poison, through another person that perhaps has poisoned your spirit. Now, to prevent your spirit from becoming permanently wounded by the lion's mouth, I have three common sense suggestions that I'd like to bring to you. I think they're in your bulletin. First one is to be aware of the spiritual dimension. That's the first suggestion. I mean, Satan, as we know, can enter into any situation where there is brokenness, where there's sin involved. And he can use, especially, strained relationships for his purpose. Whether it is hurtful words, unforgiveness, or perhaps pride, all those things can open the door for sin to come in and to make things worse. You know, Paul, in speaking to the Corinthian church, which seems to have conflict all the time, he tells them to forgive, and then he continues to say that in order that Satan may not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Be aware that whenever sin is present, it gives ground for the prowling lion to work with. And so as well-informed and knowledgeable Christians, we should know what he is up to, that there is a discernment that comes from knowing the word of God, that we can perhaps see what is beyond the angry words from this angry person. Maybe we can see that there is something here that is not just a coincidence, that perhaps there's something more to it, something that is preventing this person from perhaps seeing a certain truth. And then perhaps we can better understand why all of a sudden temptation comes in like a flood. You see, let me make it clear that not everything is Satan's fault, but be aware of the spiritual dimension to your struggles. The second common sense suggestion is stand in his truth. Stand in his truth during the dark stretches that you're going through. You know, when life gets very shaky, the only thing you can do is to hold on to what you know is solid. You know, as a kid, you know, I mean, every kid I would think, you know, in school you like to rock the chair. You know how many of you guys did that? Where you're sitting, you know, with the, right? You rock it and people always tell you, sit on all fours like you're supposed to. And then 10 minutes later, you're rocking back and forth and the chair's on two. And usually, you know, if you like to play a prank on somebody, you go behind them and you pull it back a little bit. And so then when everything is shaky, when for that moment their world is being rocked, what do? Their arms are, you know, they're waving around looking for something solid to hold on to. All right, that's the natural reaction. And so when we go through dark stretches in our Christian walk, God's truth is the only thing that is stable. And God's truth is the only thing that will not pass away, even as heaven and earth will eventually someday pass away. You know, as a kid growing up in the 70s, one of my favorite shows was Batman on Channel 11. And perhaps this gives you a little hint of how old I am. And this was before Batman the movie, before Batman Returns, before Batman Forever, before Batman the Animated Series and The Dark Knight and all that stuff. Before all that, life was simpler back then in the 70s. It was just Batman being played by Adam West on Channel 11. Now, for Batman, one of his most important pieces of equipment that he has is the famous Batman utility belt, okay? And it holds everything that he needs for crime fighting. It holds, you can't see here, but it holds that grapple gun where he shoots so he could climb to distant, you know, very far distant places, high places, scale up walls. The belt has these pouches, you know, where it holds these bat grenades, the bat tracers to trace the enemy's movement. It has a radio so he could call up Robin, his sidekick. And it's got these smoke pellets for quick escapes. And it even has, if you ever seen that one episode, where in that belt he actually has shark repellent, just in case he needs it. But perhaps, the most important function of this particular belt is that it holds up his underwear. So you can see how it's a very important piece of equipment. Now, the Word of God tells us that there's another belt that we need to hold up everything that we need, especially when a day of evil comes. You need this belt to hold all the truth that you know about God. Ephesians chapter 6 says, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. It holds everything, you see. And during the dark days of being under temptation, while being surrounded by lions, you can take hold of what you know to be true and shun what feels to be true at that particular moment or that circumstance. The belt of truth holds everything you need to weather the dark spiritual storms that come your way. It is just a stretch of time, you see. And during this dark stretch, during this difficult, very difficult stretch of time, you stand firm on His truth. Because there will be a day where you can look back and you will know that, wow, that was a pretty bad storm. That was very painful. And it came, but it's past now. And you'll be glad that you held on to God's truth over your life. The last common sense suggestion I would have for you, if you are going through a difficult stretch where you are spiritually attacked or oppressed, is to praise your way out. You know, there's something about music that can change your mood, even if you are stuck in a dark situation. It has been studied that music has a significant impact on soldiers during wartime. It was true back in World War II. In Vietnam, the Beatles, Beach Boys, the Temptations, they all helped soldiers to kind of cope with the grim realities that they were surrounded with every single day. And according to a New York Post article recently, it says that on the front lines in Iraq, it states that soldiers use their iPods to help them get through everything from combat missions to getting a good night's sleep. Again, music. Let me read to you what David was singing to help him keep it together while he was stuck in a cave. Let me just read to you from Psalms 57, verse 7 to 9. David sings. He says that verse 7, "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul, awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples." You see, David used his own praise song to help him cope with his situation. And somehow, as he's doing it, it changed his emotions, which sometimes, folks, is really half the battle, isn't it? And so when we go through the difficult struggles, especially when the enemy is just waiting there, you know that the enemy is waiting for you to fall. A praise song might just make a difference. You know, while we do appreciate the loving gestures from our brothers and sisters, the nice cards that maybe you might get, or maybe the touching emails that someone sent you, or even when people you know are praying for you, or maybe someone shared with you a good verse, but singing a praise song touches you from the inside out. You see, something is being produced from within. So if you have ever felt like you are surrounded by the enemy, the lion, be aware of the spiritual dimension of your struggle. Stand in God's truth during those dark stretches. And praise your way out, because your emotions sometimes is half the battle. I want to close by giving you this encouragement, this word of encouragement from the book of Daniel. It is from our scripture reading. And Daniel, like David, he was also wrongly punished. There was a strong sense of injustice over here. And so Satan had used other people to say all sorts of slanderous, false things about him. And so a young man named Daniel, his heart could have been filled with bitterness and rage. And the wounds from these words could have sank in very deep. And so as he sits among lions in a den, the whole night, for that whole night, he could have thought it over and over again, you know, "Lord, why me? You know, what did I do wrong?" And the whole night, can you imagine in that lion's den, his anger over this injustice could have exploded. Bitterness would have grown with deep roots during this time because Satan wanted to wound his spirit. But a lion cannot wound those who trust in the Lord. I'm amazed, absolutely amazed at the first words that come out of his mouth, Daniel's mouth. You know, when they open up the hatch in the early morning, and if it was up to me, I don't know what I would say. You know, that as soon as they remove that stone lid and that little bit of light comes down to the lion's den, I mean, I would say, you know, why you? I can't believe you. No good, this and that, you know. I can't believe you did this to me all night. God will curse you. I guarantee you, I'm going to pray for it. I will never, ever forgive you. And all that. But instead, we find in the scriptures that the very first words that Daniel says that came out of his mouth, verse 22, if you have it open with you, he says, O king, live forever. My God sent his angels, and he shut the mouth of the lions. They have not hurt me. Satan was almost successful in causing Daniel's Christian testimony to be stained and his inner spirit to be wounded. Instead, the king, the pagan king, saw something of a different spirit in Daniel. You see, there was a working relationship in the future with this pagan king that was preserved because Daniel trusted God while surrounded by Satan's traps. Incredible. Incredible that he says, O king, live forever. That's like saying, you know, long live the king, after the king just put you in there wrongfully in the first place. And when Daniel was lifted up from the den, the scripture says, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. This is how you and I want to come out of our temptations and our trials in life. God, in his perfect timing, will lift you up from the lion's den. And you will grow in your trust in the Lord. You will have more faith in him than ever before. The mouth of the lion, you know, Satan, you know, lies. All the things that have come across and come to you will not penetrate you when you have steadfastness in his truth. And as long as you trust in his word, your spirit cannot be wounded. And you will personally know the Lord's deliverance. And you will know intimately when you read in the Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul says this. He says, I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack. That's the Lord's promise for anyone who trusts in his truth. Let me close in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, help us, Lord, as a church, help us as a people who perhaps oftentimes are proud, who perhaps are very good in being self-sufficient in so many areas in life. Lord Jesus, help us to lay ourselves down before you and to embrace your truth, especially, Lord, during the times where life gets a little bit rocky, where the tremendous battles that's happening in our minds that no one knows about, Lord, during those times, Holy Spirit, may you lift us up. Then in due time, will you lift us up from the lion's den after we have fully trusted and embraced your truth. That, Lord Jesus, you may rescue us from the teeth of the lion. That, Lord, our inner spirit is preserved by your strength. Lord Jesus, will you do that, Lord, especially for those that are going through tough times, the spiritual attacks, the things that happen in our minds currently. Lord, I do not know specifically who, But Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of truth. And I ask, Lord, that you will highlight these things to them. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.